Creative Spaces Case Study Series Best Practices Report. March 2020. This Creative Spaces Case Study Series is supported by the Department of Canadian Heritage and Canada Council for the Arts. Table of Contents. Introduction. Page 2. Arts Built Ontario. Page 2. About the Best Practices Report. Page 2. Case Study Partner Organizations. Page 3. Best Practices Report. Page 4. 1.0 Project Backgrounds. Page 4. 1.1 Operating Models and Project Timelines. Page 7. 2.0 The Need for a Capital Project. Page 10. 2.1 Accessibility. Page 10. 2.2 Energy Efficiency. Page 11. 2.3 Community Engagement. Page 11. 3.0 Who the Space Serves. Page 12. 3.1 Project Leadership and Partners. Page 12. 3.2 Building Committee and Contractors. Page 13. 3.3 Project Opposition. Page 14. 4.0 Concept to Construction. Page 14. 4.1 Construction Plans. Page 15. 4.2 Financing. Page 16. 4.3 Contingencies. Page 17. 4.4 Day-to-Day Operations. Page 18. 5.0 Projecting New Financials. Page 18. 5.1 Asset Management in a Capital Reserve Fund. Page 19. 5.2 Lessons Learned. Page 19. Summary. Page 20. Resources. Page 21. Introduction. Arts Built Ontario, Arts Built Ontario, ABO, is the only organization in Ontario dedicated to realizing long-term solutions to building, managing and financing the sustainable arts facilities needed in our communities. ABO offers tools, resources and programs that support arts organizations with their creative space projects. ABO's core programs include our Learning Series, the Creative Spaces Mentoring Network, and Asset Planner for the Arts. ABO has published case studies on 19 arts organizations who have completed a capital project, as part of our Creative Space Case Study Series. These projects vary in size, scope and operating models. The goal of these case studies is to enable other organizations with best practices, knowledge and resources to both develop and sustain their creative spaces. About the Best Practices Report. This best practice report summarizes the key learnings from all 19 case studies in the Creative Space Case Study Series. It is intended to provide arts managers and organizations considering or taking on a creative space capital project with insights into common successes and challenges experienced by the organizations highlighted in this report. The report is divided into 5 sections. 1. What were organizations building and creating? 2. Why capital projects were executed? 3. Who these creative spaces serve and who supported the projects? 4. How were projects supported? 5. The ongoing, how are creative spaces maintained/operated? What lessons were learned? Each section will share summaries from each case study and compare similarities and differences across these projects. All individual case studies and related webinars can be found in the resources section of this report, as well as on the Creative Space Case Studies project page on ABO's website. We would like to thank the 19 organizations that have shared their stories, challenges and successes with ABO, equipping other arts organizations with best practices to sustain stronger cultural infrastructure across Ontario. Case Study Partner Organizations. The following organizations have partnered with ABO in the Creative Space Case Study Series and are included in this best practices summary. Canadian Automotive Museum, Oshawa. Carousel Players, St. Catharines. Dundas Museum and Archives, Dundas. Dundas Valley School of Art, Dundas. First Ontario Performing Arts Centre, St. Catharines. Gallery Saw Gallery, Ottawa. Great Canadian Theatre Company, Ottawa. Idea Exchange, The Old Post Office, Cambridge. The Lighthouse Festival Theatre, Port Dover. Meridian Arts Centre, formerly Toronto Centre for the Arts, Toronto. Meridian Hall, Toronto. Miles Nadal Jewish Community Center, the Al Green Theater, Toronto. Ottawa Art Gallery, Ottawa. Stratford Perth Museum, Stratford. The Tet Center for Creativity and Learning, Kingston. The Theatre Center, Toronto. The Thunder Bay Art Gallery, Thunder Bay. Trinity St. Paul's and Tafa Musique, Jean Limone Hall, Toronto. The Westdale Theatre, Hamilton. Best Practices Report. 1.0 Project Backgrounds. The Canadian Automotive Museum in Oshawa, located within a former car dealership, began the journey to renovate and refresh its space in 2015. The museum's capital project saw the installment of insulated metal cladding, new doors and safety lighting to improve the exterior facade and the integration of a new HVAC system. Carousel Players in St. Catharines, in 2016, moved out of their former space at the old courthouse, which served as administrative, rehearsal and performance space, to three new venues. Silver Spire United Church now houses their administrative offices. The Niagara Folk Arts Multicultural Center provides storage, rehearsal and performance space, and Brock University provides play development space. The bulk of this move into three spaces consisted of disassembling the stage and moving special equipment from the old courthouse and reinstalling it in the Niagara Folk Arts Multicultural Center. Dundas Museum and Archives took on an expansion/redesign project in 2011-2013. This project included a double-height atrium connecting the museum to the Perry House, a heritage home on the museum's property, used for programming and rentals, a barrier-free entrance, elevator installation as well as a redesign to accommodate a third gallery space and reference room. Dundas Valley School of Art is a non-profit art school located in the heart of downtown Dundas. In 2010, the DVSA's capital project aimed to restore and renovate its heritage building, while also modernizing the school and addressing the needs of students and teachers. Their project saw the installation of an elevator reaching all levels, the integration of a new HVAC system, environmentally improved services and interior renovations to classrooms, the lobby, and the gallery. First Ontario Performing Arts Centre, located in downtown St. Catharines, was a capital project that took over 12 years to complete. Opening in 2015, this project resulted in a 95,000-square-foot cultural complex, composed of four state-of-the-art performance venues including the Partridge Concert Hall, Recital Hall, Robertson Theatre, and Film House. Through a partnership with Brock University, the school has access to the Recital Hall and the Film Theatre for performances, screenings, and lectures. Gallery Saw Gallery, located in Ottawa, undertook a renovation and relocation of its gallery and club space during the Arts Court renovation project with the City of Ottawa in 2015. This project allowed Saw Gallery to move into the Ottawa Art Gallery's former space, renovate to accommodate two feature exhibition spaces and provide administrative space. The former club Saw space was also renovated to create a live performance venue and large outdoor patio. A circumpolar artistic research space called the Nordic Lab was also constructed as part of this capital project. The Great Canadian Theatre Company is Ottawa's largest professional independent theatre, offering a wide range of artistic programming each year. In 2018, the company underwent a capital project in partnership with Windmill Development to create a mixed-use condo and theatre space. The Commons houses the Irving Greenberg Theatre Centre, which includes a 262-seat main stage theatre, a flexible black box studio theater, and two spacious lobbies, has allowed GCTC to expand its activities and become a hub for community-based and artistic activities. Idea Exchange, the old post office, located in Cambridge, was a restoration and expansion project under Idea Exchange in the city of Cambridge. This capital project saw the old post office repurposed into a modern community library and resource center, opening its doors in 2018. The project included renovations, restorations, and additions that doubled the existing space by adding 9,000 square feet to the historic structure. The rise of makerspace and digital literacy programs ultimately inspired this capital project. The Lighthouse Festival Theatre in Port Dover has taken on four capital projects within the last 10 years: lobby renovations, installation of an elevator, rejuvenation of lobby/box office, restoration of historic brick walls, the Room to Roam expansion project which saw the purchase of the adjoining building to the theater, acquisition and renovation of their rehearsal hall, and their Get Cheeky Theater seating project. Meridian Arts Center, formerly Toronto Center for the Arts, in 2015, renovated their main stage to create two smaller theater spaces, the Green Wind Theater, 296 seats, and the Lyric Theater, 574 seats. This project responded to changing theater audiences and the needs of its theater community. Meridian Hall, formerly known as the Sony Center for the Performing Arts, located in Toronto, underwent a number of capital projects from 2016 to 2018. These projects focused on the replacement of the theater's rigging system, the restoration of limestone cladding for the entire building's envelope, enhancements to the loading dock, power and communication upgrades to the theater's lighting system, and more. Each of these renovations was an individual project with its own timelines, though they often overlapped. These projects were also the result of a 10-year plan that was developed after an assessment of the current condition of the building. Miles Nadal Jewish Community Center, the Al Green Theater, underwent renovations from November 2017 to September 2019 to improve accessibility for their patrons. The project upgrades addressed accessibility of the stage, seating, the venue itself, and related technology. The MNJCC replaced the seating of the venue with a modular system to maximize space usage. They also purchased a non-electric portable stage lift for the theater, and installed push buttons and light access for all 8 doors of the facility. Lastly, the MNJCC retrofitted the audio system to better enhance performances and presentations. A 60-foot wide screen that comes down from the proscenium was installed as well. The Ottawa Art Gallery, in 2015, took on a new capital project as part of the Arts Court redevelopment, which involved a private/public partnership model between the gallery, City of Ottawa, and hotel/condo developers. The project saw the gallery grow from 12,000 to 55,000 square feet, allowing for more programming, exhibition, rental, storage, and community space. Stratford Perth Museum, in 2008, purchased, renovated, and built an addition to a 4,700-square-foot Victorian house for rotating exhibitions and their permanent collection. The purchase of the building allowed the museum to establish a permanent home, fulfill its strategic plan, and increase earned revenues with more space for exhibitions and programs. The Tet Centre for Creativity and Learning in Kingston saw the rejuvenation of the J.K. Tet Centre into a creative hub in 2015, located beside the Isabel Bader Centre for the Performing Arts, resulting in the establishment of an arts cluster within the city of Kingston. Now home to 11 arts organizations of varying disciplines, the Tet Centre for Creativity and Learning provides community arts programming as well as rentals. The Theatre Centre in Toronto is a nationally recognized live arts incubator that serves as a research and development hub for the cultural sector. To acquire a more permanent home, the Theatre Centre's capital project saw the complete renovation of the Carnegie Library at 1115 Queen Street West in 2012-14. The Thunder Bay Art Gallery is a non-profit public art gallery that, in 2009, embarked on a large-scale capital project to develop a new purpose-built facility on the shore of Lake Superior. With construction expected to begin in 2020 or 2021, designs for this new facility include 6 exhibition spaces, 3 multi-purpose rooms for programming, a climate-controlled storage unit, a cafe, and an expanded gift shop. Trinity St. Paul's and Tafa Musique, Jean Limone Hall in Toronto, in 2013-16, was renovated to better serve long-standing partner Tafel Musique and the wider arts community. The project included enhanced acoustics, improved seating, and lobby renovations. The Westdale Theatre saw the restoration and redevelopment of the Westdale Heritage Building, located in Hamilton's Westdale neighborhood. With the building originally purchased in 2017, the Westdale's capital project transformed a 1935 theater into a cinematic cultural hub after restoring the building's infrastructure, modernizing its interior, and reinstating operations. 1.1 Operating Models and Project Timelines. The operating model and scope of a capital project can determine the planning, execution, and ongoing maintenance for an arts organization. The capital projects in this case study series cover a wide range of timelines spanning from 2 months to 25 years. On average, projects took approximately 6 years from planning to completion. The timeline for any capital project is dependent on a variety of factors, including leadership, operating models, financial resources, community/stakeholder buy-in, and contingencies, making each timeline captured in this project specific to the organization and respective capital project. Organization. Project. Project timeline. Canadian Automotive Museum. Operating model, owns and operates space. Major renovations to the museum's exterior, as well as the integration of a new HVAC system? 2 years. Carousel players. Operational model, rents space from others and does not operate it. Moving from one venue to three venues to house programming, office and rehearsal space. Main component was deconstructing and reconstructing stage. 2 months. Dundas Museum and Archives. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Expansion and redesign of museum building and historic Perry House. 2 years. Dundas Valley School of Art. Operating model, owns and operates space. Restoration and enhancement of the school's three-story heritage building, interior renovations, development of a media center and darkroom for community use, restoration of the school's library, implementation of an elevator reaching all levels, the installation of a new HVAC system, and repositioned interior lighting. 3 years. First Ontario Performing Arts Center. Operating model. Municipally owned and operated. Rents out spaces to arts and community organizations. Executed a completely new build with a partnership of the City of St. Catharines and Brock University, and developed a performing arts center in downtown St. Catharines. 9 years. Gallery Saw Gallery. Operating model, rents space from others and operates space. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Moving and renovation of new space within Arts Court for Gallery Saw Gallery, Club Saw expansion and construction of Nordic Lab. 10 years. The Great Canadian Theatre Company. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Permanent relocation to the Irving Greenberg Theatre Centre. Capital project saw the theatre constructed within the first 2 floors of a condo. 10 to 12 years. Idea Exchange, the old post office. Operating model, municipally owned and independently run. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Redeveloped the old post office heritage building and transformed it into a modern community library and resource center. 4 years. Lighthouse Festival Theatre. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Series of large and small-scale capital projects that involved lobby renovations, expansion, purchase/renovation of a rehearsal hall and seat restoration. 4 years. Meridian Arts Centre, Toronto Centre for the Arts. Operating model, municipally owned and independently operated. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Renovation of 1,800-seat main stage theatre space into 2 smaller theatres, the Greenwind Theatre which is 296 seats and the Lyric Theatre which is 574 seats. 3 years. Meridian Hall. Operating model, municipally owned and operated. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Executed several capital projects, including replacing the theatre's rigging system, restoring the limestone cladding for the entire building's envelope, making enhancements to the loading dock, making power and communication upgrades to the theatre's lighting system, and more. 1 year, for each project. Miles Nadal Jewish Community Center, the Al Green Theatre. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out space to arts and community groups. Improving accessibility of the stage, seating, the venue itself and related technology. Purchasing and installing new systems to replace older systems. 2 years. Ottawa Art Gallery. Operating model, municipally owned and independently operated. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Part of the Arts Court redevelopment, the Ottawa Art Gallery built a new facility in partnership with the City of Ottawa and private developers, creating a facility 4 times its original gallery size. 16 years. Stratford Perth Museum. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Purchase and retrofitting of Victorian House and 11,000 square foot addition. 2 years. The Tet Center for Creativity and Learning. Operating model, municipally owned and independently operated. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Renovation of J.K. Tet Center and redesign as a multidisciplinary creative hub. Spaces provided to arts tenants, who also provide arts programming as part of their contribution to the space. 10 years. The Theater Center. Operating model, municipally owned and leased by the Theater Center. Rents out space to arts and community groups. Permanent relocation to the Carnegie Library, redeveloped as a facility for the Theater Center. 2 years. Thunder Bay Art Gallery. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out space to arts and community groups. Plans to develop a new facility located on the shore of Lake Superior. This increase in space will improve collections storage, programming, etc. 2009, present. Trinity St. Paul Center for Faith, Justice and the Arts. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out spaces to arts and community groups. Renovation of sanctuary and lobby within Trinity St. Paul's in partnership with Tafa Music to improve acoustics, aesthetic, seating and congregation/patron experience. 25 years. The Westdale Theater. Operating model, owns and operates space. Rents out space to arts and community groups. Restored and redeveloped the Westdale Heritage Building, transforming it into a cinematic cultural hub. 2 years. 2.0 The need for a capital project. The below graph identifies the common needs, shared across all case studies, that motivated organizations to undertake a capital project. Accessibility was a key need identified by 73% of organizations undertaking a capital project. For 58% of organizations, factors included rental space and community awareness. 53% of organizations additionally focused on programming space and growth. Similarly, 32% highlighted the importance of increased storage, while 26% focused on rehearsal space. Administrative space was significant to 21% of organizations, and 16% of organizations valued heritage preservation/restoration. 11% identified a need for operational changes, energy efficiency, and a reduction in costs. Lastly, 5% of organizations use their capital projects to primarily address issues related to health and safety. Many organizations conducted studies and issued surveys to stakeholders to validate and shape the needs for their projects. These included feasibility studies, needs assessment, spatial needs assessments, viability analyses, and market analyses. Smaller organizations in this case study series did not complete formal feasibility studies, rather they sought out confirmation internally through patron surveys, consultations with municipal leaders and members of their communities, or by observing needs through direct management of their facility. Larger organizations, often municipally owned, completed formal studies with third-party consultants, such as Artscape, Lord Cultural Resources, Westbury National, Architecture 49 Inc., Cobalt Connects, Levitt Goodman Architects Limited, Martin Vinick Planning for the Arts and Urban Strategies Incorporated, ERA Architects Incorporated, Net Firms and Diamond and Schmidt Architects. 2.1 Accessibility and Inclusion. All projects incorporated accessibility into their capital projects starting in the planning and design stages. City-owned projects engaged accessibility advisory committees and consulted municipal accessibility departments to review audits and designs. Additionally, these projects allowed committees and departments to experience the spaces while under construction. Some organizations that were not municipally owned also executed accessibility audits. Invisible disabilities and experiential accessibility were considered in many of these audits. Generally, projects incorporated the following elements. Accessible seating. In some cases, accessible seating was spread throughout a theater space instead of one designated area. Elevator lifts. Drop-off locations. Accessible washrooms. All-gender washrooms. Tactile flooring. Adult change tables. Increased space in dressing rooms. Push-button activation at all emergency exits. Strobe lights. Audio alarms. For example, a priority for the Westdale Theater during renovations was ensuring the venue was fully accessible. The plan ensured ramps were installed in and outside of the building, that closed captioning was available for film showings, and that technological aid devices were made available to audience members. Likewise, the Ottawa Art Gallery went beyond code and installed all-gender washrooms. 2.2 Energy efficiency. The majority of organizations completed LED lighting retrofits during major renovations. projects that were new builds planned to install energy-efficient systems from the start of the project. Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, LEED, certification was pursued by several organizations for their capital project. The Ottawa Art Gallery, the Tet Centre, and Idea Exchange's Old Post Office are all LEED-certified buildings. Other energy-saving aspects included new and improved HVAC systems, insulated doors and combined structures, and complete upgrades to electrical and mechanical systems. 2.3 Community Engagement. The majority of organizations credit their community for shaping the vision of their capital projects. Many held community consultations to inform the planning and design of their future creative space. Roundtables and one-to-one interviews during feasibility studies also engaged key stakeholders. These sessions demonstrated organizations were responding to the needs identified by those they serve and often aided organizations in securing community buy-in for their projects as well as support from municipalities. 3.0 Who the space serves. In almost all cases, the capital projects were tied directly back to the organization's mandates and purpose. The arts organizations participating in the case study series were consistent in looking to better serve their existing audiences and reach new ones. The majority of projects were also looking to provide more accessible spaces. Most organizations wanted to better reach their communities by amplifying their presence with a new capital project, oftentimes introducing or expanding space rentals was top of mind. These include both artist/nonprofit rentals and community/corporate rentals. Considerations in capital project plans included discipline-specific additions, such as accessible backstage areas, modular storage, accessible seating, additional collection space as well as other amenities like bars and cafes, kitchen access, increased programming space and outdoor event spaces, all of which would better serve new and existing stakeholders across the communities. 3.1 Project Leadership and Partners. The leadership of each of the capital projects in this study reflected the different operational models of the respective arts organizations and the scope of their capital projects. The boards of directors were involved in 53% of the capital projects, with executive directors at 42%. 37% involved leadership from general managers and artistic directors, while municipalities led 32% of the projects. 16% involved a project manager, and 11% involved curators, tenants, city councillors, facilities managers, and volunteers. 5% of projects involved music directors, production managers, technical directors, consultants, and boards of trustees. The majority of projects were led by senior leaders in the organization, most often the executive director and the board of directors. In municipally owned buildings, the city took a leadership role, but worked in tandem with operational partners in overseeing the capital project, often providing support in the form of human resources or funding for increased operations. For example, the City of St. Catharines partnered with Brock University to build the first Ontario Performing Arts Centre after the need to develop a multi-purpose performing arts centre alongside the Brock Centre for the Arts was identified. Similarly, other organizations engaged with municipalities as partners and consulted with them on a regular basis to discuss any project updates regarding cost, timeline, revisions and more. Facility owners and managers were primary partners in capital projects where arts organizations did not own their buildings, but were undergoing a capital project. Many identify their municipalities and funders as key partners and supporters. 3.2 Building Committee and Contractors. These committees were comprised of staff and board members, partners, municipal staff, politicians and key stakeholders invested in the space/organization. Some organizations had existing facility committees that took on the steering of capital projects, but most created building committees solely for the duration of the project. It is worth noting that each building committee brought in the expertise needed for the specific project. 53% of organizations noted that architects were part of their building committees and/or were involved in the general building process. 47% of capital projects included board members and 37% included municipal staff. General managers sat on 32% of building committees, with executive directors at 21%. Campaign managers, city councillors, and facilities managers sat on 16% of building committees, while technical planners and volunteers were involved in 11% of projects. Lastly, 5% of building committees included production managers, artistic directors, collections managers, curators, graphic designers, marketing directors, contractors, and consultants. Municipally owned spaces were required to undergo a competitive bidding process in order to hire contractors, but other organizations also issued requests for proposals, RFPs. In many cases, municipalities included stakeholders and project partners in the RFP process. Organizations worked with general contractors such as Ira McDonald Construction Limited, Eastern Construction Company Limited, Architect Goldsmith Borgel & Company Limited, Podcow Architects, Brooke McElroy, and Diamond Schmidt Architects. Some organizations reached out to general contractors that had completed projects in the past and were familiar with their facility/operational needs. In rare cases, organizations such as the Miles Nadal Jewish Community Center, MNJCC, did not have their project architect go through a formal RFP process, as the architect was familiar with the organization and had done previous work with them. In addition to the building contractors, other specialists were hired to accommodate specific aspects of a project, such as an acoustician or a heritage consultant. 3.3 Project Opposition. Some of these projects did encounter opposition from neighboring properties about the consequences of an expansion project, such as excessive noise from special events or obstructed views. Some projects experienced criticism from community members about municipal funding to support the creative space projects. Idea Exchange in the city of Cambridge experienced this from some citizens who expressed fear of increasing municipal deficits, for example. Some organizations identified that parts of their community criticized how public funds were invested in municipal projects, or that the funding landscape proved challenging due to political climate and government priorities at the time. This cost-related opposition was often met with organizations and municipalities reaching out to their communities about how the benefits of the project would outweigh the costs. There were commonalities with the strategies that organizations implemented to resolve project opposition. Keeping lines of communication open with those who opposed their project was key. This included updating municipal staff, neighbors, the local community and the media on the progress of the project initiatives, including offering tours and meeting one-on-one with neighbors. This allowed the community to witness the transformation and provided continuous engagement in the projects. 4.0 Concept to Construction. A majority of organizations shared three commonalities when it came to the deciding factors that moved their project from the conceptual phase into the building phase. 1. Needs were identified by the community through outreach and feedback. 2. A business plan was developed for organizational sustainability and growth. 3. Funding was confirmed that allowed the project to move forward. Over half of organizations executed a feasibility study. Funding for these capital projects included a combination of grants, municipal funds, existing capital reserve funds, extended lines of credit, and/or remortgaging of property. For municipal projects, the design and building phases followed council approval to move the project forward. Projects also gained momentum when firm leadership was in place, usually the board chair, executive director/general manager, project manager, and/or city councillors, and when a unified vision was struck between partners and stakeholders. 4.1 Construction Plans. Many projects took on a design-build method to allow for flexibility in the construction phases of the project, include room for contingencies, management of all contractors to ease internal human resource capacity value engineering measures. Construction plans were developed by contractors. Contractors included architects, engineers and other subcontractors as necessary to the process. These plans were brought back to the building committee for approval. Day-to-day decisions were often made by the project manager, who was usually part of the contractor team or the organization's leadership. Some organizations engaged key stakeholders, such as anchor tenants and commercial partners, to provide input on the design phase. Some also invited the community to provide feedback on the proposed designs of the new space at town halls. For larger projects, construction plans were broken down into phases based on the scope of the project. For example, Trinity St. Paul's and Tafel Mazik renovated the sanctuary prior to the lobby to prioritize the space for performances. The Meridian Arts Center constructed the Greenwind Theater, with smaller seating space, to take pressure off the high demand of the studio theater and focus on the more intricate design of the Lyric Theater. What is a design-build process? Design-build is a form of project delivery where an owner contracts, under a single contract, with one entity, a design builder, to provide and take contractual responsibility for both the design services and the construction. The Canadian Construction Documents Committee. What is value engineering? Value engineering is a creative, organized effort that analyzes the requirements of a project for the purpose of achieving the essential functions at the lowest total costs, capital, staffing, energy, maintenance, over the life of the project. Through a group investigation, using experienced, multidisciplinary teams, value and economy are improved through the study of alternate design concepts, materials, and methods without compromising the functional and value objectives of the client. Whole Building Design Guide. 4.2 Financing. Each project took on a different funding model depending on resources and the scope of the project. The majority of projects secured public funding from federal, provincial, and municipal grants. These included Canada Cultural Spaces Fund, Ontario Trillium Foundation, Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs, Toronto Culture Build Investment Program, Community Foundations. Other sources of funding included private donations, capital campaigns, line of credit, reserve funds, remortgaging properties, loans. 84% of organizations said that they used federal funding as their main funding source. 68% of organizations said that they primarily used provincial and municipal funds to fund their projects, and 37% of organizations stated that their main source of funding was through capital campaigns. Private donations were the primary funding source for 26% of capital projects, 16% used alternative financing, and lastly, 11% used financial support from project partners as their main funding sources. Multi-partner projects, such as Trinity St. Paul/Tafa Musique, the Tet Center for Creativity and Learning/City of Kingston/Arts Tenants, Idea Exchange/Monogram Coffee Roasters, and the Ottawa Art Gallery/Arts Court saw private partners make contributions to the vision of the project. These included private developers, post-secondary institutions, commercial partners, a congregation, and future tenants of the space. Organizations that held a capital campaign include Lighthouse Festival Theatre, Dundas Museum and Archives, Galerie-Saw Gallery, Ottawa Art Gallery, Stratford-Perth County Museum, Trinity St. Paul's and Tafil Musique, Dundas Valley School of Arts, the Theatre Centre, the Westdale Theatre, Thunder Bay Art Gallery, First Ontario Performing Arts Centre. While these capital campaigns covered only 10-20% of the project costs and were not often a main funding source, it is still noteworthy that a majority of organizations pursued a capital campaign for their project. These campaigns also had a lower fundraising goal for more attainable results, which in turn gained community buy-through investment in the project. Organizations that did not use grants had a healthy capital reserve fund and self-funded the projects. For example, one organization extended its line of credits and remortgaged its property to support an $800,000 project. 4.3 Contingencies. Unexpected changes during construction affected the timeline and budget of each project. Performance venues needed to plan or find uninterrupted time for renovations. Some heritage buildings also required organizations to secure specific permits, the cost of which came as a surprise in some cases. Other contingencies responded to problems in the structure of the building, whether a wall was too old to sustain the impact of construction or asbestos remediation was needed before any more construction work was completed. During construction, the amount of cleanup required was also an unexpected concern. Many organizations managed this by remaining flexible in their planning, often incorporating a buffer to allow for variances in the timeline of their capital projects. They also took advantage of both the design-build process and value engineering during the building phase of the project. These plans allowed them to stay within budget. On average, organizations planned for a 15% contingency in their capital project budgets, but upon reflection, several said they would have set aside more. 4.4 Day-to-day operations. Many organizations that took on a major renovation or new build chose to close their facilities while under construction. Those that were operational before construction needed to account for lost revenues. In most cases, staff were overworked during the construction period. To resolve this issue, schedules were often set, monitored, and adjusted to ensure that staff were not overwhelmed by maintaining day-to-day services during the construction phase. Many also offered programming off-site or operated out of alternate locations. Day-to-day operations and staff burnout are major consideration for all organizations as these kinds of renovation projects impact all levels of operations. 5.0 Projecting New Financials. To project new financials, organizations used a combination of a business plan, which in most cases was created ahead of the capital project, and outside advisors. Some organizations researched sample budgets and consulted similar venues as well as their own feasibility studies from the early stages of the project to form a new budget. Each financial plan for the new spaces included staff, operations and maintenance, and rentals. If the new space was significantly larger or changed the scope of the organization's operations, these extra costs were incorporated in the new budget. Several organizations that were expanding their rental programs through their capital project underestimated rental revenues in the first year. However, what they gained in revenue was offset by the unforeseen expense of hiring additional staff to manage the increased activity. One organization mentioned that it took 3 years to see a profit through rentals, as they had to outfit the space to meet the specific needs of the theater companies, a new rental audience that they wished to attract. However, as this was part of the organization's business plan, it was anticipated. In terms of energy costs, some mentioned that they both over and underestimated energy savings in the first year of operations. Some organizations paid the same energy costs previous to their project or significantly less than anticipated, but this depending on the scope of work invested in energy efficiency aspects of their project. In some cases, staff positions increased or changed to reflect the current needs of the new creative space. Depending on the organization's use of space, staff positions were expanded or added. These included general managers, facility coordinators, custodians, technical support, development staff, front of house, marketing staff, and curatorial staff. Oftentimes, staffing needed to increase or be adjusted to respond to the growing needs of the space. In other cases, nonprofits operating out of municipally owned facilities received an increase in operating from their respective cities to account for a larger footprint or larger operating models. For organizations that were not municipally owned, the increase in operational costs was often offset by space rentals. Some organizations also increased costs for services at their venue, justifying this decision with the improvements made by their capital projects. 5.1 Asset Management and Capital Reserve. Many organizations incorporated asset management into the ongoing operational plans following the completion of their projects. Over half of the organizations utilized a capital reserve fund, which they also used in conjunction with their asset management plans. Municipally owned buildings are maintained by their city, however, the nonprofits operating the facility are responsible for outfitting the space and maintaining rental equipment, and they track these assets internally. Organizations with working boards often had a member track their facility assets and manage a capital reserve fund. Organizations with an established capital reserve fund are continually growing/maintaining it to support ongoing repairs and future capital projects. 5.2 Lessons Learned. The lessons learned by each organization are relative to each project. Most organizations that expanded their rentals program were not prepared for the demands on staff, logistics and resources. Spaces also reported that an increase in staff affected the dynamics and roles within the organization, and required an environment of fluidity. Many organizations also found value in setting a schedule of tasks for employees and revising the list as needed to avoid staff burnout during various phases of capital projects. Each organization emphasized that a dedicated and flexible staff was integral to the success of each capital project. Clear communication and frequent meetings were key to undertaking the expanded responsibilities of staff during the project. The majority of organizations agreed that it was invaluable to have a contractor and architect involved in the construction process. Many also shared the importance of on-site verifications towards the end of the project to ensure all aspects of the renovation or capital build are functional. Any deficiencies left unresolved at the end of a building contract leaves the organizations with a future repair cost that is outside the project budget. When considering costs, several organizations emphasized the value in separating budgets during the planning process of their capital project. For example, recommendations were made by one organization to separate commercial and community initiatives. Testing new assets such as doors, cupboards and lighting well before the end of a building contract was recommended by organizations, otherwise, costs to address deficiencies often fall on the organization outside of the project budget/timeline. Many organizations agreed that, once a project starts, there is little to no opportunity to save money and recommended ensuring all cost efficiencies are explored in the planning and design phases of a project. Another common lesson learned was that community expectations about a capital project could be different than internal expectations. For example, the mandate of one capital project was to provide community arts programming from the tenants in the space, and while tenants anticipated scheduling attendance at programs in advance, the community expected a drop-in experience for arts programming. Likewise, another organization mentioned that patrons in a performance venue were not prepared for unplanned follow-up work needed to address deficiencies following their capital project. Both organizations cited that communication and educational messaging can support stakeholders in understanding the goals and realities of their capital project. All organizations understood the significance of keeping an open dialogue with their communities during the execution of their capital project and the time thereafter. Summary. While each aspect of the what, why, how, who and the ongoing remain specific to each organization and their capital projects, there are similarities between them. Every project considered its community as the primary visionaries for their projects. Clear lines of communication are needed between the project leadership, construction teams and staff, and building committees should be comprised of people with the skills needed to make an organization's project a well-rounded process. A majority of funding for capital projects primarily came from federal funds, but projects were supported through a variation of public funds, donations and some form of alternative financing, loans or a line of credit. Finally, most organizations had a feasibility study and business plan to guide their new space's sustainability both during and after their capital project. We hope that arts organizations will use this best practice summary, in addition to the case studies, to support their organizations, professional development and individual role in future creative space capital projects. Resources. Case studies. Canadian Automotive Museum, Oshawa, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Carousel Players, St. Catharines, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Dundas Museum and Archives, Dundas, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Dundas Valley School of Art, Dundas, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. First Ontario Performing Arts Centre, St. Catharines, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Galerie Gallery, Ottawa, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Great Canadian Theatre Company, Ottawa, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Idea Exchange, the Old Post Office, Cambridge, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Lighthouse Festival Theatre, Port Dover, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Meridian Arts Centre, formerly Toronto Centre for the Arts, Toronto, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Meridian Hall, Toronto, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Miles Nadal Jewish Community Centre, the Al Green Theatre, Toronto, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Ottawa Art Gallery, La Galerie d'Art d'Ottawa, Ottawa, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. Stratford Perth Museum, Stratford, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger Latude de Cassin-France AEC. The Tet Centre for Creativity and Learning, Kingston, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger L'Étude de Cassin France AEC. The Theatre Centre, Toronto, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger L'Étude de Cassin France AEC. Thunder Bay Art Gallery, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger L'Étude de Cassin France AEC. Trinity St. Paul's and Tafa Musique, Toronto, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger L'Étude de Cassin France AEC. The Westdale Theatre, Hamilton, Ontario. Download the English case study here. Telecharger L'Étude de Cassin France AEC. Webinars. Working Together, Multi-Partner Creative Space Projects, Ottawa Art Gallery and SAW Gallery. Alternative Creative Spaces and Adaptive Reuse Projects, Trinity St. Paul/Tafa Musique and Idea Exchange. Engaging Community and Municipal Performing Arts Space Projects, Meridian Arts Centre and First Ontario Performing Arts Centre. Volunteer Boards and Creative Space Projects, Dundas Museum and Archives and Stratford Perth Museum. Capital Project Case Study, the TET Centre, the TET Centre for Creativity and Learning. Community Partnerships and Creative Spaces, featuring Carousel Players, Carousel Players. Restoring and Revitalizing a 1934 Independent Cinema, the Westdale. Revving Up Canada's Car Museum, Canadian Automotive Museum. Securing Permanent Space, the Stratford Perth Museum and the Theatre Centre.